This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, if you listened to our program last week, you know that we began a brand new series from the Old Testament book of Joshua. Last week, we looked at chapter 1. Today, I just want to read a few verses from Joshua 2 about a woman named Rahab, one of the most famous women of all the Bible, who's also referenced in the New Testament. It goes like this: Then Joshua secretly sent two spies into the land, especially Jericho. They went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But Rahab had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men did come to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Now here's the key part I want you to hear. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." And then she says this: "Our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below."
What a story, what a dramatic story. You could see this portrayed in a film where the two spies are hidden by Rahab. And you say, why would the spies go there? That was the best place to get lost, was in an inn, a public inn. She probably did run an inn as well. And so they were trying to hide and to be undercover, so to speak. And it's there that she comes to the spies and says, "Not only do I know who you people are, I know who your God is. And your God is the real God." You need to know, folks, how dramatic that was for Rahab to live in what would be called a pagan culture, worshiping idols that would offer sacrifices of their children to a pagan deity. And she comes along and says, "I know that your God is the real God." The most important moment in Rahab's life is when she acknowledged God as God, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about Rahab. The title is also the outline. Rahab, a woman with a past, a problem, and a promise. That's the outline as well as the title. Rahab had a past. So do you, and so do I. If you're an adult, I want to make an announcement for you today. You have a past. You know that, don't you? Every man, every woman that's an adult has something in their past that they're not proud of. Something that's happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe longer. And we all come to the Lord with a past. I have yet to meet the man or woman who said, "Well, I have nothing in my past that I need to ask forgiveness of." I haven't met that person yet. If you know someone, I'd like to meet them. Introduce them to me. But I have yet to meet that person. We all come to the Lord with a past. But I want you to notice what the New Testament teaches in Corinthians, that if any man or woman is in Christ, get this, they are a new creation. Do you realize the import of that statement, to say that if any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creation? You know what that means? They don't have a new concept of living. They don't even have a new mindset. They are a new creation. They're a new entity. They're totally different from within, changed by the power of the living God.
Well, has the Lord ever used an unlikely person in your life to minister to you? I think the answer to that question would be yes. All this week, we're looking at a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Rahab. Rahab was known as a prostitute or harlot of the day, to use King James phraseology, and yet God used her. in a powerful way as we studied Joshua, the second chapter, how God used a woman with a past, a woman with a problem, and a woman with a promise. Let it speak to you all this week.
Rahab was a woman of the past. And you know, another reason I think that she was a prostitute, not to dwell on that idea, was that when she identifies her family members, she doesn't mention a husband. She said, "Would you protect my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters and all their families?" And the spy said, "You bring your family in to your house when we come to take the land, and you hang this scarlet cord," which has great significance that I'll talk about in a minute, "from the window. We'll know, we'll give the word to the soldiers to leave that house alone and spare everyone in that house." And they became believers in the living God. She was a woman with a past, but I want to tell you this, the blood of Christ covers your sins. You need to know that. John Elliott is a songwriter from Springfield, Ohio. I think he happens to be one of the great songwriters of our day. The most powerful song he wrote, some of you have heard before, it's called "Embrace the Cross." Listen to the lyric. "Embrace the cross where Jesus suffered. Though it will cost all you claim is yours, your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the cross." Listen carefully. The most important thing you will ever do in your life is embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. You do know that, don't you? You know what it means to embrace the cross? It means you don't hold it as some good luck object. You embrace the cross means you embrace everything that it stands for, everything that it represents, everything that it means to the world in general, but everything that it means to you in particular. The cross of Jesus Christ is more than a symbol of a church or the symbol of a religion. It represents my forgiveness. And it represents your forgiveness from what? From your past. Rahab was a woman with a past. But let me tell you something. She had a great future because of the Lord God Almighty. I want you to notice something. She had a problem. Can you imagine being a person who says, "We believe in your God," in a culture that believed in any God but God? That's what's the irony of all this. Rahab says, "I believe in the true God," in a culture that believes in anything but the true God. But then think that through. That's the way it is. This nation is fast becoming a post-Christian country. You hear people talk about this politically, that how that the United States is fast becoming like Europe. You know, you can go into churches in Europe that seat 2,000 or 3,000 people and you'll see 6 people on Sunday, 8 people. I mean, it's incredible. And if the statistics that people are quoting are correct, is that fewer and fewer young people today are coming to Jesus Christ. And the percentage of believers in high schools is just dropping and getting lower and lower every year. We are becoming a post-Christian nation, and that's sad, but it happens to be the reality. So what Rahab faced 3,000 or 4,000 years ago is what people are facing today. They're swimming upstream in a downstream world. It was politically incorrect for Rahab to say that she believed in the true God, and yet that's what she did. That was the choice she made. It was politically incorrect for Rahab to say that she believed in the true God, and yet that's what she did. That was the choice she made. Forrest Nims, years ago, was a man who found out the price you pay for something that you say is not politically correct. He was a writer for a magazine known as Scientific American Magazine. I don't know if they still publish the magazine. I remember it from years ago. He made the big mistake, the dastardly mistake, of saying that he believed in a creator God. That's all he said. He happened to believe in a creator God. He lost his job as a writer with Scientific American Magazine. They said, "We don't want you as a writer anymore because you made the mistake of saying that you believe in a creator God." I think more and more we're going to see evidence of that in our culture, where people who say, "I do believe in the Bible. I do happen to believe in a creator. I do happen to believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be," that people are going to be ostracized because of that. People are going to be excluded. People may even be persecuted in our culture because of that, because we live in a nation that rejects the Lord. I want to bring up, if we can, verse 11, because I really think this is so important, if we can. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, Rahab is speaking, and she said, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Do you know what that means when Rahab said that God is the God of heaven above and the God of the earth below? She was acknowledging, get this, the lordship of God in every area of life. That was a generic statement to say, I believe that your God is not just God in a theoretical sense. He's the God of everything in heaven, and he's the God of everything in earth. And the thought occurred to me, that's what it means when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. You acknowledge the lordship of Christ in every area of your life. And as a man or woman or young person, you say, I acknowledge that God is the Lord of heaven. And he's the Lord of earth, which means he's the Lord of everything in my life. He's the Lord of my past. He's the Lord of my present. And he's the Lord of my future. Is the God that we serve the God of your heaven and your earth? Have you acknowledged him as the Lord of your life? One of the most interesting statements in the Gospel of John, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I remember the first time I read it years ago, the words jumped off the page. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, and they were trying to trick him. And they said, Jesus, we want to ask you a question. What is it, the work of God, that requires us? What does God require us of as work? And I think what they wanted Jesus to do was maybe to name some things that we physically could do to honor God. And he said, what is the work? They said, what is the work that we're supposed to do? And Jesus said this, you want to know what the work of God is? To believe in the one he sent. Think about that answer. You want to know what the work of God is? To simply believe in the one he sent. And that's the greatest work of God, is to believe that Jesus Christ is everything that he claimed to be, that he is not only the Son of God, he's your personal Lord and Master.
We'll continue this message from the second chapter of Joshua tomorrow. You do know we have a national website called crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed on the program. But also there's information about becoming a part of this ministry we call Crosshope, ways that you can participate in expansion of this ministry, crosshope.org. Thanks and God bless. Now then, today, part four of a message we began on Monday about a woman by the name of Rahab from the Old Testament book of Joshua, the second chapter. If you've been listening this week, you know Rahab was a prostitute of the day, a pretty dramatic story in itself, but she was a woman who helped two spies from Israel who came in to spy out the land of Jericho. Perhaps you're familiar with the story from other experiences, but what a dramatic story. This woman with a past, a woman with a problem, and a woman with a promise. Let's continue with part four from Joshua 2.
I want to talk about verse 12 and 13, if we could bring that up. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and you will save us from death. This is a woman with a past, a problem, and a promise. They said, you hang out this cord, this scarlet cord, which you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know the symbolism there. The scarlet thread or the scarlet cord represents the blood of Christ. It was a type pointing to the future. That's what I really believe it was. It was a reminder of, as people would look back, the scarlet thread was a reference to the blood of Christ. And you hang that cord from your window, and we will know that we will spare your family. And they made a promise to her that chapter 6 will tell us that they honored, and that Rahab and all her household were spared. They were all spared because of the promise that was made to them. I think you know where I'm going with this, that the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are a person who lives under a promise. You say, what's the promise? that if we trust everything that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, our sins are covered by the scarlet cord, so to speak. If we trust in everything that Jesus did on the cross, then we are covered by the blood of Christ. There's an old song that my mom and dad and sister and I formed a family quartet. And we had a family quartet that sang this song, "Remembered No More." Remembered no more. My sins are remembered no more. They're under the blood of Jesus. My sins are remembered no more. Folks, that's not a sentimental lyric. That is the basis of hope in your life and in mine. My sin, your sins are remembered no more because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are people under a promise. And the promise is that our sins will be and have been forgiven through the blood of Christ. 1 John 5 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God." Rahab discovered that in the Old Testament. You can discover that you are a child of God. Rahab was a woman with a past. She was a woman with a past of prostitution, lived in a pagan culture. She had a problem. She chose to believe in the true God in a culture that believed in anything but the real God. But she was a woman who discovered a promise that her family would be spared if the scarlet cord was hanging in the window. There's a promise for you and a promise for me that if we trust in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, we not only have forgiveness, we have the promise of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise of all.
Well, I'm going to ask you to make every effort to hear the last part of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That website again is crosshope.org. To listen to any part of this message or to find out more about being a part of this ministry we call Cross Hope. God bless you and thanks for listening.
I want to share a powerful story with you. Fred Craddock was a professor at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. He started out as a professor at Johnson Bible College. He taught in Oklahoma. He was at Vanderbilt for a while. He was at Emory University when he retired in Atlanta. But when he was a professor in Vanderbilt, he went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee to stay at a lodge. He was tired. He went with his wife. They wanted to get away from people. And he told his wife, "Let's just get away from the weekend. I'm tired of teaching this week and I just want to be alone." So they're sitting at this lodge in the dining room having their meal when the owner or the manager of the restaurant, or that's who he thought he was, came walking around and was introducing himself to people and shaking hands with the guest. And Fred Craddock said to his wife, "I hope that guy leaves us alone. I don't want to talk to anybody." Well, you know what happened. He came over and said, "I'm the person who runs this lodge. I'm glad you're here. And what is your name?" And Fred said, "Fred Craddock." "Well, Fred, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm a professor." And he said, "Well, what do you teach?" He said, "Well, I'm a professor at a seminary at Vanderbilt. I teach ministers." And the man said, "Well, I've got a story about a minister." And he pulled up a chair. And Fred Craddock said, "Oh, no, here we go. I'm going to have to listen to 20 minutes of some man talking about some preacher's story." Well, he wasn't prepared for what he was about to hear. And first he was actually angry about it, but he said, "When I was born illegitimately to a woman who never married my father. We lived in a small town in Tennessee that we grew up in, and the reproach that fell upon my mother fell upon me." Some of you have trouble believing this, but other people won't. He said that when I would go to school, the kids would have nicknames for me, nicknames that I couldn't even mention. They would make fun of me because I didn't have a father. I used to be so embarrassed because I didn't have a father that when the recess bell rang, I would run out and hide because I didn't want to face the children. But he said, "Every Sunday I would go to church and I would sit and listen to this minister preach about the love of God, and I would always slip in late in one of the back pews, and then I would slip out early so that I didn't have to talk to anybody or interact with anybody." Get the picture? He would come in late, back pew, slip out early so he never had to talk to anyone. One Sunday, he said, "I was trapped because people came in after I did, and I couldn't move. And as the service was over, the minister walked right down to the aisle to the back of our church, and he stopped and looked at me and said, "Son, you are the child of, you are the child of," and he thought, oh no, he's going to guess. He's going to try to guess who my dad is. And then the minister, for whatever reason, said, "Son, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Go claim your inheritance. Go claim your inheritance." Then Fred Craddock said to this man who's talking to him, what's your name again? And he said, "My name is Ben Hooper. Ben Hooper. Ben Hooper." He said, "Were you the governor of Tennessee years ago?" He said, "That's right. I'm the former governor of the state of Tennessee." Found when he grew up, he was considered illegitimate by the culture, but he found out in his relationship to the Lord, he was a child of God. He discovered what 1 John 5 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God."
Well, next week on Cross Hope, we'll look at chapter 3 of Joshua. It's a message entitled Crossing the Uncrossable, when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River at flood stage, and how God helped them to cross what was considered to be an uncrossable river. God works in the uncrossable rivers of your life that we'll talk about next week. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.